Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast, Episode 4, Making Extra Money by Starting Your Own Summer Camp. I'm your host, Philip Taylor, creator of PT Money Personal Finance. The Part-Time Money Podcast is designed to help you discover new and interesting ways to make extra money and to learn the ins and outs of those money-making methods. Not from me, but from the people who are actually doing the work. Along the way, hopefully you can pick up a few entrepreneurial skills to help you in whatever money-making pursuit you take on. In today's episode, we're going to be talking with Lori Martin, owner of Cub Creek Science Camp, a camp that combines science, animals, and traditional summer camp activities to create the most fun you've ever had. Lori started her camp over 19 years ago by using her nights and weekends and time off during the summer to conduct the camp. In this episode, she shares a great deal of insight into starting your own summer camp. Well, let's check it out. All right, I am here today with Lori Martin, owner of Cub Creek Science and Animal Camp. How's it going today, Lori?
Very good, thanks.
Well, I really appreciate you joining me today. I definitely want to get some information about how you started your camp. I think you told me you started it from a part-time basis initially, or at least just during the summer. So maybe just give me a background about your camp and how you got started with it.
Well, I started summer camp 18 years ago. I was working in the camping field at the time and thought I was about to lose my position because the company was downsizing. So the camp that I went to as a child was a science camp, and there was no science camps in the area. So I took a class at a community college, nighttime class, and figured out how to incorporate and started the business. Took 3 weeks off my summer vacation, and I had 10 children a week. I had 2 employees. I rented part of a state park and had a great first year. Didn't make much money, but had a good time doing it. The next year we had 60 kids during the same 3-week period, and the next year we had 90 kids. Last year we had about 1,300 come from every state in the country.
Oh, that's great. Do you still do it at the state park, or do you have your own place now? Or
We have outgrown the state park, and okay. We purchased an abandoned campfire girls camp back in 1999, and we've converted it and built brand new cabins, and so much larger than what we had at the state park.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Can anyone still to this day do a camp like that at a state park?
Yeah, state parks are great places to go because most of them have campgrounds that you could do a more primitive camp in a campground. Many of the state parks will have organized group camps where you can rent part of that. There's also lots of possibilities for doing day camps out of many places. You can do a day camp at a golf course.
Okay, so you knew you wanted to do this. You just needed the business skills, so you went out and took the class at a community college, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me a little more about that decision and what you learned from that class.
It taught me to have a business plan. It taught me to think through the details of what I wanted. How to incorporate, that was all new to me, but that's just pretty much filling out a form. The fact that we started the program so small really helped because I could get my feet wet without being totally overwhelmed. And you have a real short period to get everything done, and then you have a whole year to prepare for your next year.
I see. So how did you do that first year? You said you barely sort of, you know, squeaked by. It was a 3-week camp, right, the first year?
It was a 3-week camp. Now, we probably took in about $9,000.
Okay.
But most of the money went towards expenses because science is my passion, and so there's so many things that I wanted to get for the program. So rather than really making a money up front, it was more that I saved money up front. So all of the things that were normally my hobbies that I would spend money on, I can now take it as a deduction.
I see.
And so we kept building the program, and all of the money we took in, we would buy more program supplies to make the program more appealing for future campers.
Oh, that's awesome. So you did this during 3 weeks over the summer, so that meant you had another job. You were still working at the other camp, is that right?
Well, it wasn't a camp, but it was a weekend program for folks with disabilities. And yes, I did that year round, and I just had vacation time, and I would use my vacation time. So all of the prep work was done on nights and weekends. And there's camp fairs that are held throughout the country, and so I would go and attend a camp fair and set up a booth to tell families about what I was doing, and had to create a brochure. And after you get your first set of kids and they love it and they tell their friends, it kind of acts as a snowball.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So how has this side business over the years helped you and your family financially?
Well, financially, both my husband gave up our full-time jobs and we work full-time for our own business. We live on the property. We happen to be able to brag that we're the only summer camp in the nation that has its own zoo. So we have over 100 species of exotic animals, and our children are raised on the property here, and we're our own boss, and we have 70 summer employees and about 10 full-time year-round employees.
Okay, that's great. How did you get the kids to come initially with the first summer that you did, and then what are some of your marketing techniques that you've learned going forward?
Well, getting kids to come initially, I did a lot of site meetings with parents. Parents would want to meet me, and we'd meet out at the state park, and I'd give their kids a tour, and I'd take them down into the creek beds, and I'd talk about what we were, you know, the fossils that we were going to find and the activities that we were going to do. And so just having one-on-one, face-to-face meetings. When you start off, like I said, we only had 30 campers the first year, so on the weekends, I'd meet them out at the state park. Now we do a lot of camp conventions. An awful lot of our business is done online, so we've got a pretty good website, and people go there and they can see all about it. We've got lots of word of mouth, so you've got 70 to 80% of your campers return each year, and then they tell their friends, and it grows that way.
Oh, cool.
As far as marketing, the best marketing is I go to a camp fair and I've got a monkey on my arm. The program that makes us stand out is we have a program called Adopt an Animal, so kids can pick their favorite animal from the zoo and take care of it for the week. So we'll bring along a baby kangaroo or a baby monkey, and that just flocks people to our table so we can tell them about what we do.
Oh, that's great. So there are camp fairs where parents and kids come to decide which camp they're going to attend for the summer. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Oh. And they're set up oftentimes in school gymnasiums, or we've attended camp fairs that are at the mall, and you just come and you can meet camp directors from 200 different camps and choose the specialty that you're interested in.
Okay.
They have traditional camps where kids are going to come and go swimming and fishing and play sports, specialty camps like my program, which focuses on science and animals. There's computer programs, there's circus programs, there's golf programs. So the specialty camp niche is becoming the real in thing, that kids who have an interest want to go to camp that specializes in the interest that they have.
Okay. So what kind of kids, you know, are you attracting?
We're attracting the kids that love animals, science, and nature. We've got one of the only junior vet programs in the country. We've created out here, in addition to the zoo, we've created a surgical lab, and we work in conjunction with a local vet, and he'll come out and do surgery on the facility so the kids can sit in and watch surgeries as they're being performed. We have a partnership with the local shelter, and so we provide spays and neuters on their dogs and cats in the shelter. We also have a culinary science and a crime science, and so just a lot of specialized programs that all focus on hands-on science.
Well, that's great. Obviously you've got a science background, but what skills do you think have enabled you to be successful in doing this?
Well, I had a pretty strong HR background as well. So when you're going to have a lot of summer staff, and your summer staff are typically college students, you have to be pretty good at the whole recruiting of those staff. Right now, that's what takes up almost as much time as camper recruiting, is finding 70 staff that can work for you. We're up to a 12-week summer program now. So having good HR skills, good organizational skills to figure out what you need to do. I no longer have to cram it into the nights and weekends, so that makes it nice.
Yep. How did you decide how much to charge the kids?
What competition was charging. I looked at what other camps were charging, and when I started, I just tried to be right in the middle of what they were charging.
Okay, and then you just said, well, our expenses are going to have to be under that level right there.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. All right, very cool. Any tips or tricks for, I guess, any future camp directors out there who might want to do something similar?
Well, I'd say that they need to get associated with the American Camp Association.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of standard. You have to know what the accreditation process is. It's not mandatory to become accredited, but it's a seal of approval. It means that you've gone through the thinking process. They have over 300 standards that relate to staffing and hiring and safety and food service. And you can get an accreditation guide, and you can go through the guide on your own to see what they consider the minimum standards.
Mm-hmm.
You can then have them come out to the facility and go through the formal process of having your camp accredited. They also have camping conferences that you can attend. In the area that we're in, I'm in Missouri, and there's a mid-state camping conference that's held once a year south of Chicago, and it's really inexpensive to attend. First time camp directors to attend there, it's next to free. You have to provide your own housing and food, but you have access to professionals in the field that are doing talks on any subject that you feel that you could use a little help with.
Oh, that's great. I'll definitely link to those resources from the blog post, as well as link to your camp website, which is?
It is BearRiverRanch.com.
Okay.
The name of the camp is Bear River Ranch, the name of the facility, and mm-hmm. the name of our summer program is Cub Creek Science Camp.
Oh, very cool. Any mistakes you can think of that you might have made along the way or people who get started in this type of business might make?
I think some of the most common ones are that people expect to be too big too fast. So starting off small is real important. You can't fill a summer camp your first summer out. You've got to start with something small. I've known many people who have gone out and bought the land and decided to build the facility before they built the program. I think that's kind of the backwards way to do it. You should start a program, rent the facility, find a facility, and then build your facility as you need it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you also can't underestimate the importance of organizing the summer camp. You can't just wing it just because you've got a group of kids out there. There's lots of safety things to consider. And if folks think about their own unique theme, what do they love doing and what would they have a passion to teach kids about?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a traditional camp. If you're good at graphic design, then they could create a graphic design camp. They don't have to think about school-age kids. There can be a summer camp, a day camp for college students who want to do a specialized course.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to pay good money to have somebody who's an expert in the field teach them.
Mm-hmm. As you get people, like-minded people together, there's kind of an added benefit, I guess, to that versus just having it maybe in a one-off classroom.
Well, there's a lot of team building that goes on
right.
When you're in an overnight camp. But there's two classifications of summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
You've got day camps and you have overnight camps.
Okay.
And overnight camps have a whole set of advantages over day camps. Now, people who run day camps are going to say that they have a whole set of advantages over overnight camps.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be a residential camp, an overnight camp, and that's wouldn't trade it for the world. But starting off, if people are not able to find the facility, that shouldn't keep them from trying to start a program. They can run a day camp and then move it into, we're going to do a day camp and offer one overnight on the weekend, or we're going to do a day camp and then offer two. So they can build into the overnight component if they needed to.
I see. Very good advice. What were some of the expenses of that first summer camp for you?
The expenses would have included the facility rental, the food cost. We were at a facility that actually provided food service in a dining hall setting, and we paid them per person per meal. But some campgrounds, you will have to provide your own food service.
Mm-hmm.
And then the staffing cost and insurance and program supplies.
Okay.
Those are probably all the major categories.
Okay. Did you mention insurance? I think you did.
I did mention insurance.
Is there a special type of that you have to get for camps? Or?
There are companies that specialize in summer camp insurance,
mm-hmm.
That cover the liability issues that you would face when you're responsible for somebody else's children. But I think the first year when we started off, we contacted our insurance agent. We explained to them what we were doing, and they insured us as they would the schools.
Awesome.
And so we didn't have a specialized insurance. It was just through our ordinary insurance company, who the same people who insured our home.
Okay. Oh, very cool. So what? Any last bit of advice or information you could share with future camp directors out there?
I think the trick is finding a niche that you have a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you love it, then it never seems like work, even when you have to put in the 8-hour work weeks.
Awesome. Good advice. Well, Lori, thank you so much for being on with me. I really appreciate your time and your candor in the answers. And I think you're providing some really useful information for future camp directors out there. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That does it for this week's podcast. This has been Phil Taylor with the Part-Time Money Podcast. You can contact me at pt@ptmoney.com or just visit me online at ptmoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and see you next week.